Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing?
Ayo! Yeah, I'm back, baby. We're recording on a rather balmy Tuesday afternoon. I'm having a lovely time, to be quite frank. I'm a little bit tired. I spent the weekend in a really fancy sort of stately home, the Cliveden House. It's where the Profumo affair was exposed. You know, the Christine Keeler kind of, remember that Tory MP got in trouble for seeing it. It was before my time too, Chris. The Profumo affair, it destroyed a government.
Bloody hell. Bit of historic knowledge there.
It was a sort of place where I'm not then. Comfortable. I'm really not comfortable sort of surrounded by money and nice. I can't have nice things, basically, Chris. I'm much more at home in an absolute dump. It was fun. Yeah, lovely. Drove down there. Sat next to a pool for a day or two. It was lovely. Absolutely cracking. Went on a boat ride. Love a boat ride. Love any possibility where I'm going to fall into some water. Very exciting to me.
Bloody hell. Your weekend sounds a lot more productive and fun than mine.
Yeah. What did you get up to? Sorting out your studio. Sorting out your studio. That's what you're saying you're doing. I very much enjoyed your picture where you look like Louis Spence from Pineapple Dance Studio announcing his new Pineapple Dance Studio. There's enough room to sort of swing a cat in there. It's very capacious. You should make that your new house.
It's a good size. It's almost too big. That's the stupidest thing I've ever said. It's too good. It's
too smashing
with a film space. I don't know. You feel like you want sort of a room where you can pad the walls and whatnot. And the problem is, because it is one big kind of room, it's not divided into rooms, it does have a nasty echo, and I'm going to have to really battle hard to get rid of that. I'm going to have to sort of put padding everywhere. And I've got, so far, what I've got in there is a whiteboard. I've got a big whiteboard.
Got a big whiteboard.
For drawing all my incredible ideas on the whiteboard. I have no ideas. The whiteboard's very much blank at the moment. And I've got an L-shaped sofa, so I can sit on the sofa. I've always wanted an L-shaped sofa, and now I have, and I feel very happy about that. And I also got a projector, because I just thought it'd be useful to have a projector, not just to watch things, but also to like project things onto a wall, or like use them, you know, as a sort of backdrop for videos. And I'm really impressed what you can get for a projector. I think it was about $1,500 or something, but it goes to 120 inches. And the quality is really good. It's 4K. It's kind of portable. It's got a speaker built into it, and really bloody awesome.
I mean, you are so into this projector right now. You said those exact same words on one of last week's show. You are so impressed by how good the short throw projector technology has come on. You're so excited by it. And I am here for it. I am here for it. If I could offer you one bit of advice on the whole echoing front, you could spend all your time kind of proofing it. Acoustically proofing it, and that's probably an idea. Just get one of those Shure SM7B mics. Big fan of those.
Is there some sort of conspiracy at the moment? In the last 3 days, three people have spoken to me about that bloody microphone.
Because, I've had you, Chris.
I've had Connor, and I've had my other friend Pete, American Pete. They're all like, Shure SMB 751, whatever the hell it
is. It's because it's really good at removing echoes, but it does mean you really have to chomp the mic. You really have to eat the mic. You really have to get very, very close
to
the
mic. Using now?
No, that's not what I'm using now. I'm using a very cheap 30 quid Marantz Podpack one. Inexplicably, I've got thousands of pounds of recording equipment in this in the Stack headquarters studios, and I've just taken, because it's easier for me to edit, I'm just going to be using this Marantz Podpack 30 quid mic. So look, if people are sort of listening and they're sort of like, oh, how can I get started with content creation, podcast, whatever, a Marantz mic will do if you've got a small room. But if you've got a more echoey room, you might want to spend a bit more on one of those Shure mics, because my friend's has got a very reflective kitchen. It says it's worked wonders on him. I've noticed Trash Taste use them as well.
They do,
and it looks like they've got quite an echoey room as well. So look, I'm just giving you advice for tech advice, all right? Tech advice, mate.
You don't need a Shure SMB7, whatever it is, to make content. You just need an iPhone, Pete. Just an iPhone.
That's what they tell you.
There's all these videos springing up these days with YouTubers calling out other YouTubers who talk about how you like, all YouTubers say, oh, you know, it's all about the content. You don't need a camera that's good. Yeah. And there's a lot of hypocrisy. I wonder if I'm as guilty of that as anyone. You know, what have I said? I think in the past I have said, you could do it with an iPhone. I suppose most TikTok creators use just an iPhone, and they're successful and brilliant. But
and the attenuation of an iPhone microphone is very good. Like, it's designed to be used by someone who's not really close to the mic. It's designed to pick up everything it can. I would say that I've been very impressed. I bought a Sony A6000, kind of secondhand camera. To be used as basically like effectively a streaming camera for stuff like this, and I was very impressed with the output of that and what it looks like. And it was like, I think mine was like 250 quid on eBay.
Is that it?
Yeah, lovely old job. Yeah.
Well, I suppose we're at a point now where like you can get a good secondhand camera for a few hundred pounds that is head and shoulders above what most YouTubers used to use. Like, I started this on a very old Canon camera that barely had microphone in it that worked. So, I don't know. Like, the bar is a bit higher for production quality these days to succeed on YouTube. But I think for under $1,000, you can still get all the equipment you need to make it happen. Or even under $500, you can get a decent camera microphone to make it work.
Yeah, and never.
So I'm saying, you've got no excuses, Pete.
But if you're someone who's sort of focused on video, and when we work with creators who've been on like TikTok and YouTube and stuff and Instagram and stuff like that, sound is always the last thing they sort of worry about. They always concentrate on the visuals. They always concentrate on the camera angles. They always concentrate on the lighting, but they forget about the sound. And I would argue that some of the reasons that you guys probably enjoy Chris's content, I don't want to blow his trumpet because I'm sure he can blow it himself as and when is necessary. But I think a lot of the charm of Chris's work is that you can actually hear what the hell is going on, and the sound production is nice.
A lot of effort goes into it, but I swear that's the falling down point of a lot of people in the world of YouTube that just starting. So remember that, folks. If you're starting a YouTube career, have a good microphone for $30, and always make that a priority. They say they say that bad video image is acceptable, but bad audio quality is just unforgivable. So bear that in mind. We got a story here, and I'm not sure who it's from because there's no name on it. Yes, there is. It's Jose.
Yes, there is.
Konnichiwa, Chris and Pete. I'm Jose Chavez from San Diego, and I've been a huge fan since May 2019 and followed all the videos in the podcast, not live streams though, because of the time difference. Anyway, I'd like to share my first Sento public bath experience. I went to study in Kyoto, Japan for a month in July, and during the weekends I'd go to different cities with a few classmates. We went to stay in Shin Osaka one weekend, and on our way back, my friend Elias and I decided to stop at Shintoku Sento in Osaka. I think I've been there. This might be the one where I had a bad experience. We had to find a tattoo-friendly Sento, and this was the closest. With my friend and my limited elementary Japanese, we managed to pass the front lady and go into the lockers. However, we had no idea what to do in the locker room. We looked around us, lost, until a large and tall Japanese man came up to us to help. Let's say the language barrier no longer existed. He grabbed my shirt and started to lift it up with force. And by reflex, I quickly pushed down, but I knew what he meant. He did the same for my pants, and I quickly lifted them up. Bloody hell, this is pretty dicey. He went inside to bathe, and my friend and I got naked, putting our clothes in the lockers. I was still shocked that a 6 foot, 250-pound Japanese man had just tried to take my shirt and pants off at a bathing house. Anyhow, we walked inside and sat down to shower before going inside the bath. We kept washing and washing with the shower, and I looked to see if the large man with Yakuza-like tattoos, he was just sitting there. He just wouldn't go. This reminded me a lot of a scene in Tokyo Drift. I still haven't seen Tokyo Drift. Is it good, Pete?
No, I've never watched any of the
Fast and Furious films,
but everyone says they're very, very good. And not even a guilty pleasure, just good.
I'll bear that in mind. I've heard bad things about Tokyo Drift, but I'll give it a chance. After a while, the man got out of the bath, and while walking out, he patted my back and pointed to the bath. That was our cue to go in. First time in Japan, first time at a Sento. This was the best a most nerve-wracking experience I've ever had. Have you ever had a sketchy onsen or sento experience? All the best, guys. Jose from San Diego. Have you had a sketchy experience, Pete?
No, I really haven't. I like the in that I've only been to a couple, and one of them was just in the hotel. I just like the fact that I just like the fact that he's just getting sort of molested into doing the bathhouse thing. Like, you know, take your clothes off, get in here. Well, you know,
terrifying.
It's sometimes you can't explain. If you've got no English, and you have to just tell them what to do, may as well just grab them by force.
I mean, I think Jose took that pretty well. Like a lot of other people might have been the beginning of an altercation. Mm. I went to my first year in Japan. I went to a public bath in Osaka at like 2 a.m. It was a 24-hour one. And I had some weird stalker guy that wouldn't leave me alone. He kept like following me around from bath to bath. And it really wasn't fun. So it sort of put me off going to public bath places in Osaka at that time of night. I haven't been back since. Don't know. I didn't know what to make of it. But there was a big bath. I got in it and there was like no one else around. And I was in this massive bath, right? And you could sit anywhere in there. And he came in, he sat down really close to me and started talking. And I thought he was just being friendly at first. Like, oh, maybe it's a foreigner. So he just wants to say hello and have a chat. But he didn't. And I sort of left that bath, went to another one. And he just sort of followed me there. And he kept following me around from bath to bath.
Just wants a chat, mate. Just wants a sexy bath chat.
Yeah. I felt like maybe it was some sort of hookup point, actually, the bath I went into, it quickly dawned on me that it might be some sort of hookup, because he was sort of gesturing for us to leave. And I was like, no, I'm just here. It, maybe it did look a bit shady going this like pretty rough bath place at 2 a.m. in the middle of Osaka. Maybe yeah. things happen there, I don't know. But he was sort of like, let's go. And I was like, no, I think there's been some pretty big miscommunication here. But yeah, bear that in mind. If you go to Osaka Sento, there's some interesting characters, whether it's Yakuza or the man that I met. But there you go. Bear in mind, though, that Sento, there's a slight difference. I think onsen is a just means hot spring, right? Mm. And onsen are sort of the more romantic places that you typically find out in the mountains, whereas a Sento just means public bath. And a lot of them do use onsen hot spring water. But also, it's just a sort of culture that exists where you can go to a public bathhouse. And they're nice. I've only done it once in one video, I think, and that was the 24 hours in Kagoshima video, the last video on the original Journey Across Japan. So if you want to see what a public bath looks like, go and check that out, because it was kind of cool. They have the nice tiles, right? Sort of awesome tiles. I'm sure you've seen it in a Yakuza video game, Pete.
That's my only. Look, as me traveling to Japan is becoming further and further away from something I'm going to experience, I've got to get my Japanese fixed from somewhere, to be quite frank.
Is there a mini game where you have to harass foreigners coming in?
Yeah, I mean, we've got aggressive bathhouses here. I'm sure I could find that, but yeah, they wouldn't. Oh, hey, Chris, have you heard this amazing news story? I genuinely, we talk about on this show quite a lot, inclusivity and how difficult it is for disabled people to get around some of the busiest cities and stuff. Mm. But there's a robot cafe that has just opened in Tokyo, and it's one I would very, very much like to support and very much like to visit. There's a normal cafe as you walk off any kind of izakaya, any kind of cafe, but instead of having human greeters, they've got robot waiters. Now that's something that we've heard of countless times, millions of times before.
It never works
on this
well.
Show in Japan. Never works well. It always lacks that that little bit of specific personal touch that only a human can bring you. But Dawn Cafe's robots are more than a gimmick, more than just a little bit of silly fraff to enchant a tourist who thinks Japan's all about the future and robots and stuff. These robots are actually remote controlled a piece of technology offering job opportunities to people who can't work outside the home. So basically, they do this case study in this news piece about this this cafe. And basically, all of these robots are controlled by people who are like tele-remoting, tele-controlling them from other parts of Japan. Huh. Now, these kind of robots are controlled by one of around 50 to 60 employees with physical and mental disabilities who work as the pilots for all of these robots, or in inverted commas, in the same way that Robot Wars is very much just a load of remote control cars being controlled by people like Chris Brown. Basically, this cafe that was supposed to open last year to coincide with the Paralympics, it's open now, which coincided with this year's Paralympics, which is great. The machines are called Orihime. And they've got cameras, a microphone and a speaker, and it basically allows people who can't leave the home to work remotely and control these kind of piloted robots. And there's some of these people who can't even move at all. The people who have got who have got that amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, who use eye movements on a digital panel to send signals to the robot. So these are people who aren't even controlling them with their hands. It's the brainchild of this guy called Kentaro Yoshifuji, a bloke who co-founded this laboratory that makes the robots. And he had a bit of bad health when he was a kid. He wasn't able to go to school, and he felt very kind of withdrawn and subdued about the whole situation. And he began thinking about ways to bring people into the workforce if they can't leave their home. This cafe is open in Tokyo, and everyone's loving it, to be quite frank. It's absolutely amazing. And since Tokyo won the bid to host the games, this guy and the actual organization in Sport Japan, they've tried to sort of help companies to make public facilities more accessible for disabled people, but the inclusion still remains limited. And there's a non-profit in central Japan's IHM, just reading the piece here, that supports employment for people with disabilities. It's a sort of thing that we don't see enough in this country, and it's certainly something you don't see enough in Japan, but it's an incredible opportunity for people who can't move, leave their homes, to be in gainful employment, control these robots with their eyes or their hands, and talk and talk to people who visit the cafe.
Presumably it's Pepper the robot, the SoftBank robot, right, that's used?
No, I don't think so. I think it's like these kind of like bespoke wheelie robots that go around. It's fascinating stuff.
I think only last week we talked about how Japan's robot culture isn't as cool as a lot of people think. Like it really hasn't lived up to the hype that we've seen Japan receive when it comes to robots over the last sort of 2 to 3 decades. But this is very exciting. I've heard of not only this now, but also a cafe that opened up. It might be the same one, actually. I've yet to go to it, that is run by Pepper the Robots in Shibuya.
Right.
But Pepper's a bit rubbish, to put it bluntly, because it's automated, right? But it doesn't work that well. So this is quite a good idea, right? Taking a robot and then having it operated by a human, it could probably be actually a lot more useful, right? Because it can actually really interact with people. But that's incredible. 800 kilometers away. This person was in Hiroshima, right? And they're controlling a robot all the way 800 kilometers away in central Tokyo and serving someone a baguette or something. It's amazing. It's the future. But that is future, seriously quite cool.
Baguette delivery from 800 miles away. Yeah, it's true. I just think it's a really lovely story, an important story, and it's something that we should see more of, because robots are so cold. They're all artificial intelligence. They're all just hellos and goodbyes and there's your dinner. I think giving people a little bit of control back and give them a reason to get up in the morning,
absolutely,
figuratively if not physically, is a wonderful and beautiful thing. So more of that, please.
It reminds me of that news story that came out the other week of the old the Tesla robot. You seen Elon Musk's greatest new plan?
Guy's running out of ideas? Do you get the feeling that the love affair with that man may be drawing to a
How
close?
Dare you? We're best Panicking. Friends. I'm best friends Panicking. With Elon Musk because I met him once. And so we're definitely friends. I think it's more of a PR stunt, personally. I think, you know, it's quite easy to drum up some PR when you're in his position. That's why he does a lot of stuff on Twitter.
Well, I mean, bearing in mind that the robot that they actually showed was just a man in a suit dancing about. He's the meme monster. He just thinks everything's a fucking joke. But his share price will suffer eventually.
It was a weird move. It was more like an announcement. And you think they might as well just have waited another year, then announce it when they've actually built it. But the robot they're building at Tesla, the Tesla bot, is supposed to do menial tasks that normal humans wouldn't want to do. And it's designed to be non-threatening, right? It can move slower than a human. And it's supposed to be designed to be overpowered by humans so as not to end up like iRobot, the incredible Will Smith film from 2003.
I just want to overpower a robot.
You what?
I'm trying to overpower a robot in a bathhouse.
That would be quite fun.
Sexy.
Like Boston Dynamics. And their robots getting smashed to pieces. I don't know. I quite want a robot. I want to buy a robot. Where can you get a robot, Pete?
Well, you're probably in the right place compared to where I live, for crying out loud.
I don't know about that. Robot Wars. You've got Robot Wars there. We've got nothing. I'm going to try and find a robot. I was speaking to Jerry the other week of doing a sequel to Too Much Volcano, our hit, iTunes hit. And I said, wouldn't it be cool to get some robots and put them in a music video on the Tatori sand dunes and have like Natsuki dancing around with the robots? And Joey said, yes. And then I realized this is probably a lot more complicated than I thought it would be because Tatori's so damn far away, amongst other reasons. But
too much robot or?
Too much robot. Could be good. I love robots. There's something cool about them. I'm going to go to this cafe though. I'm going to track it down. Do you know where it is in Tokyo? Doesn't say.
I don't.
It?
That wasn't in the news piece. But look for the machines Orihime or Dawn's Orihime. Cafe in Tokyo.
Dawn's Cafe. There you go. I'll check out Dawn's Cafe.
Check it out,
beautiful
mate.
Beautiful idea. Beautiful concept. Yeah. We'll be back with your questions in a moment in the fax machine.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from Tom in Rotherham, great part of the world, big fan of the Rov. Hi, both. Is there a Japanese equivalent to something like Wetherspoons or Toby Carvery? Not doing the exact same things as them, but a chain of bars that can be found in most places where the price and quality, or lack of, is consistent. Tom, Rotherham, yes, of course there is. It's the hub, isn't it, Chris? Every town.
It is. How would you describe Wetherspoons or Toby Carvery to everyone listening who's not from the United Kingdom?
It's an artificial intelligence. If you sort of explain to a robot what a pub was, and that's what they spit out. Well, their snacks are not crisps and peanuts. They are deep fried dried spaghetti and stuff like that. It's just like, what is happening here? What is happening here?
I mean, Wetherspoons is like the cheapest pub chain in the UK. And Toby Carvery, which I miss dearly, is for about £6, you can get an all-you-can-eat style buffet of roast dinner. Yorkshire puddings, chicken, lamb,
the whole lot.
Potatoes. God, I miss it. I miss that. Like, that's a top five thing I miss. Here we've got Hub. We've got izakaya chains, a few Japanese pub chains like Tori Kizoku, which is like a yakitori-style chain. They're all right. They get their job done. I only go there as a last resort, but I think that's probably the closest thing. Tori Kizoku or Hub. Yeah. We've got one here. From Marcus Costello, says, hi, Chris and Pete. I've only discovered your work recently, but I've become a massive fan of your work. I hope to visit Japan one day, and I've begun to teach myself Japanese using Duolingo. My question for you is, are there different accents in the Japanese language? Does Japanese sound slightly different from prefecture to prefecture or city compared to rural areas? Keep up the brilliant work. All the best, guys. Marcus. I suck at hearing or picking up different accents in Japanese. What I will say is, in the countryside, typically, and in certain prefectures, like Yamagata, where I used to live, they've got sort of an accent that is often ridiculed and is seen as being backwards, like a sort of peasant-like dialect, I think they refer to it as. But Natsuki doesn't have it. Natsuki's actually got quite a nice accent. He's got a sort of Tokyo-esque accent. Like, in the same way we've got real pronunciation, like royal or like the Queen's English, right, in the UK, Japan's equivalent is the Tokyo dialect, really, the standard Tokyo dialect. And then places like Osaka have a slight difference, but I can't really tell it. It's often different words and things. I'm trying to think of a word. Like, in Osaka, for example, they'll say, like, nanishitana, like, what are you doing? Whereas in Tokyo, it'd be like, nanishiteru no. Whereas in Osaka, nanishitana. So there's subtle differences.
You were trying to teach me some Osaka dialect, weren't you, in Amerikamura?
I didn't. They did, yeah. The locals did in the video. Yeah, that's quite good, actually.
Because I knew a mate who sort of comes from sort of somewhere in between Kyoto and Osaka, and she was saying that Osaka dialect is very bouncy. It's like Italian almost, and you can tell the sort of kind of difference, the different way they talk a little bit. But that's the only one. That's the only deviation I've kind of spotted, really.
I quite like the Osaka dialect. It feels kind of warm and bouncy, which are two words that really don't work when describing an accent. But like, if you want to see Pete and I break down cultural barriers and discover new words and teach people the culture of Hartlepool, the people of Osaka, go and check out our Osaka video. I love that moment. That was a personal highlight from journey across Japan, chatting with the cool kids of Osaka in America Town. That was good fun, that.
Good.
Over to you.
Over to me. Hello to Gab. Gab. Oh, no, wait. Yeah, Gab from the Philippines. Hey, guys, I have a pressing matter about restaurants. Is it considered rude to bring your own reusable chopsticks when you're in a restaurant? I managed to find some nice blue ones to discourage my own use of the disposable kind. However, I was worried that Japanese restaurants would think their chopsticks to be part of the service and that by using my own, it would imply that I look down on their own utensils. Gab from the Philippines. Oh, interesting. I mean, it would be like bringing your own fork to a restaurant in the West, wouldn't it?
It would be a bit odd. I don't think I've ever seen anyone do it in Japan. And I honestly, I don't know. I think some people might be offended in the same way that you're not supposed to rub your wooden chopsticks together because it would indicate they're cheap wooden chopsticks in the restaurant, right? Most restaurants won't care, but you never know. That's why it's rude to do it. Like, we do that, don't we? When we go into like a restaurant in the UK serving anything with chopsticks, we sort of give them a cheeky rub. To get the bloody shavings off the chopsticks, because there's bits and pieces falling off the damn chopsticks more often than not, and it's seen as a bit rude here because you're sort of saying, "Oh, this place is cheap and they have cheap chopsticks," which more often than not they do, and you should bloody do it because they're falling off to pieces. But I think it's good for the environment. So yeah, do it and let me know how you get on. But
I got punched in the face.
I haven't seen anyone do it, so I think that alone tells you how maybe it would go down. I think a sense of bewilderment, perhaps. They'll be like, oh.
They might not even notice.
Yeah, but I'm quite keen to find out.
I'd bring like really big long ones that are like three times the size, and I'd just steal food off people's plates.
The Pete Donaldson strategy.
Yeah.
A terrorist, a food terrorist. So he comes in the restaurant, watch your plates, ladies and gentlemen. Because he's going to steal everything. keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to BornJapanPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back in the next few days to do it all over again. But for now, guys, enjoy the rest of your week. And we'll see you right back here. Do it all over again on the Born Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.